Good morning. Hope everyone had a nice Merry Christmas and get ready for a nice Happy New Year. And last night, Judas' mother went home to be with the Lord. And there's, of course, a joy related to that and a sorrow related to that. And I'd like to read something that Judith wrote. She wanted me to just relay to you. That 4 years ago today, my dad and mother were broke, their home broken into, robbed, and then beaten up. A few months later, my father died from his injuries of the beating. It's still on the files as a homicide. My mother was never the same, pushed her into dementia, not able to live the life she had lived before the attack. It changed our family forever in that respect. How could this have happened? But what it did not change was our faith and our faith in the Lord, faith and strength in Christ. My mother was a strong believer in Jesus Christ. She talked about Him every day of our lives. Today she is face to face with our Lord and Savior. Although we grieve, we rejoice at the fact that she is with her Savior and friend. So, in respect to that, let's start off this morning. Brian, where are you, Brian? Let's start off this morning with "It Is Well With My Soul." What number is that?
339.
The plans for the salute, goodbye to Christine, Judith's mother, has not been made. It'll be made this afternoon, and I'll have Leslie put it on the internet in case anyone is interested in that. And I think what's interesting, in God's plan, when one goes to heaven and leaves, another comes on earth, and so we are thankful and rejoice with Eve on the birth of her grandson. And her daughter's doing real good. Grandson named Caleb. I love that name. Caleb is doing well. So that's wonderful in that respect. Let's see, announcements. Let's talk about prayer. First and foremost, Thomas, how you doing? Okay. You're okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. You ready to go back to school?
No.
Good. All right, very good. If he'd have said yes, I'd have gone, uh-oh, he's in trouble. And just be in prayer for Judah's family. Even though they know where she is, there's still that sorrow that's always attached with it. So please be in prayer for them. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to bring to mind, okay? Now, getting ready for next Sunday morning, Daniel. I have three things out in the foyer, if you didn't pick them up. First of all, is what I hope will be the final draft of the chart of the flow of the Old Testament. The red are the books of the Old Testament, and where they fit historically. Where they fit in historically, all the way down to Malachi, which is down near the bottom here. And then there's just some events that happened in history. The kings of the north and the kings of the south, you'll notice there's a letter after most of those kings, and down at the bottom you have what those letters represent. Give you a quick flow of that king. A is apostasy. R is some form of reform. B got into Baal worship. E, evil, and I, idolatry. And that'll kind of give you just a flow of that. The blue are the kingdoms that God used to discipline Israel, to know that He is God. So, and then I just, if you're coming to my house, there's hardly any wall space. I just can't handle space. So up at the very top up there is why the tribulation is 7 years. And very brief idea. Down at the bottom is the life of Christ, the line of Christ. And then over, this spot was just barren, so I put in there so you'd have it, the seven heads of the seven-headed dragon. And everything else should flow for you relatively simply. And if you'll note at the very top, start with creation and go all the way over to the birth of Israel. And then in about 2200, we have Job. Then the birth of Abraham and so forth. So this gives you a brief idea. Let me talk about dates. Dates are important, as we're going to see next week with Daniel. But I'm not a date fanatic. You might read somewhere that something happened maybe a couple of years before or a couple of years after, depending on that historian or that scholar. So these are the most agreed upon conservative dates in regard to all of these events. But even they may disagree a year or two. So if something happened, if I got the Exodus at 1440 up there at the very top, Exodus out of Egypt, and if you want to say 1438, fine. I'll give you 2 years, 3,000-4,000 years ago. And but this will help you. And you will know, back there I have a small edition. What's that for? Those of you that want to, and I do, you can put that in your Bible. The back of your Bible, you can glue that on the back of your Bible, and if you're reading, you can see where something fits in. So that's what the very small one is. Then there is another sheet, and it has Bible verses on it. Those are verses that I would appreciate you reading before next Sunday morning, Daniel. We're going to start the book of Daniel next Sunday morning, and it would be to your advantage to read these verses once or twice or three times before next Sunday morning. And it will do you well to read those verses and have that under your belt by next Sunday morning for Daniel. Now, as far as our schedule, tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, we will have study, church service from 7 to 9. We want to bring a little finger food. We'll take a little break and just fellowship a little bit. And then we'll come back and we'll end with communion. Okay, John? Sure. We'll end with communion tomorrow night. I like to do that. Close the old year with the bread and bring in the new year with the cup. And that's what we'll be doing. Yes?
Did you change the time you said last
Sunday,
8 to 10? 7 to 9
to 10? I said 8 to 10? Yes, I'm fickle. Let me see. I'm wishy-washy. It makes me know 8 to 10?
Right.
Okay. All right. Should we do it 8 to 10? 7 to 9, 8 to 10? All right, 8 to 10. That's what I said. That's what we'll do. 8 to 10. And so 8 to 10 tomorrow night. We'll start at 8 o'clock and be taking communion about 10 till 10. And then you'll still have time to go party and all of that. So that will be tomorrow night. Well, if Jim Passmore were here, I would say, well, it's getting close to 10. That's close. Jim Passmore is my time to be in bed. But so tomorrow night, 8 to 10. So you can go eat, come to class, worship God, and then go play. And so that'll be it. Yes. So that'll be tomorrow night. And then next Sunday morning, we'll have our normal study in 1 Corinthians at 9:15. And then the 10:30 service, we will be starting the book of Daniel. Yes, sir. Wednesday night, yeah. I'm sorry, Wednesday night, yes. The trials, the movement to the cross with Jesus Christ. And we're going to study something very interesting Wednesday night that I haven't emphasized. You may be very aware of it, but when John the Baptist started his ministry, the Pharisees, the religious crowd, came to him and they said, "Are you the prophet?" What does that mean? Well, we're going to see why Jesus Christ is the prophesied prophet. He is the prophet of Israel. And we're going to see where that comes from in the Old Testament and how he fulfills that at the trial before the Sanhedrin. And that will finally do it with them. I mean, he claims to be God. He claims to be the Messiah. He claims to be the prophet. And that's it. He needs to die. And so we'll be looking at that Wednesday night, how he is the promised prophet. And I'll show you where that comes from in the Old Testament and why they have been looking for this prophet throughout their history. And having rejected him, many are still looking for him. But he has already come in the person of Jesus Christ. So yes, Wednesday night, we'll study the journey to the cross, the trials of Christ. And then tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, we will have our take out the old year, bring in the new year with a challenge from the Word of God, and then communion service. So, yes. Oh, okay. And then the Daniel will start next week. So please take the time to read the Bible this week. And if you can set aside the time, read all of them at one time so you get the flow and the momentum of what is being done in those passages that I have picked out for you to read and getting ready for Daniel next week. Then we'll eat for a while. I'm going to be giving you passages to read in preparation for the next Daniel study. Okay, any other announcements or questions? Okay, the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is, first of all, a believer in Jesus Christ, and then one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory beginning of a new year. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, as man counts time, we close out another year. And Father, we're just so thankful that you have seen fit to use this humble assembly in so many ways. Here in our own home church, fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The internet, which we're able to share with those who want to understand what you revealed to us about the truthfulness of your word, Father. The advancement in our outreach to young people. The two homes here, Plano, Wiley, camp. The various things that we have going on with the young people. Missionaries. Father, we just overwhelmed with your grace, how you treat us here in our own assembly with singing, and just so many things that you continue to let us know that you're here functioning and using this assembly. And Father, we just put our cup out and we pray that you will continue to use this assembly through the next year. The teaching may be more vital in the next coming days, the history of this nation, and the lives of believers. And Father, we just pray you'll give us every opportunity through the internet, right here in our own meeting, reaching out to young people, missionary outreach, whatever other way you might have, Father, for us to continue to get the message out to both unbeliever and believer. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use them in the spreading of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Thank you, James and Wes. It makes such a difference when someone close to you goes home, dies. Your parents, your children, your siblings, friend, husband, wife. When you know where they are, when you know they're with the Lord. And then the important thing here is that's by faith. That's totally by faith. We're trusting the faithfulness of God. That has absolutely nothing to do with us. It has to do with a previous decision that we've already made to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And dying and what happens after we die is completely dependent on the faithfulness of God. Next week we're going to start Daniel. And the first lesson is going to be God's faithfulness. And when you have that assurance, it's so rewarding. At the hospice the last two nights with Judith's mother, Judith and her two sisters would be in there and just singing to their mother, with their mother, and even a couple of people that worked with hospice just wanted to sit in there, just wanted to be there, and said, I hope that I can have as close a family as y'all have, with brothers and sisters, and just standing around singing while your mother is passing on. But you see, it's a big difference when you know where they're going. And I just want to emphasize, that depends on the faithfulness of God, people. At that point, we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but at that point, we're trusting the faithfulness of God. That's what we're trusting for our loved ones and for ourselves, that God is faithful. And so that becomes a stronghold in our belief system. In God and His faithfulness to His Word, to the work of His Son, and therefore to us when we leave this earth. But it sure makes a big difference. It makes a big difference to me as not only Judith's husband, but I'll be partly officiating the service this week. It's no problem officiating the death of a believer when most of the family knows where she is. It's just a joyful time. When it's tough is when we don't know if the person was a believer or if the family is not that oriented to the gospel. And I've done both kinds of services through my life. But this week will be that kind of a joyful time. So just be in prayer for them. And let's get ready now. If you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God with prayer. And what the purpose of this prayer is, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. We spent our first hour today studying, interpreting the Bible. The awesome task of interpreting the Bible. And we looked at how the Roman Church came up with Mariology. And the idolatry of Mary worship. And what they did with this book. People, it is so vital. Who you listen to in the teaching of this book. It's so important that you rely on the Holy Spirit to open your eyes for the consistency and non-contradiction. And what they do is they just, the Pope said, we speak ex cathedra, which means out from the chair. That means final authority. And what we say is it. You don't have any right to even question it. And if we say Mary is without sin, you don't even question it. Don't look at Romans 5. How dare you look at Romans 5? You stay with what we say. And as I pointed out this morning, some Protestants do that through time too. But the Catholics do it throughout every year with the Pope. And whatever he says, that's it. Don't look at the Bible. But we need to understand this book is written for our edification and for our knowledge. And now we're going to look at the praise of Mary of her child, not the praise of Mary. It's not about Mary. It's about the praise for Mary's child by Mary. So let's be in the spirit as we look at our study this morning and close out this portion of our study as far as the Christmas special. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the God you are. We thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness, your grace, your mercy, your benevolence, your love. And Father, we thank you now for this book. But Father, we'd be no better off if we didn't have the book at all, if we didn't have your Spirit. For your Spirit opens the truthfulness of this book to us. So Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes, that we might see the things you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're studying the praise of Mary of her son. Not the praise of Mary, but of Mary's son, Jesus Christ. All right, let's begin reading in verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary, we did this last week, but just to bring us into where we are. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." Now, if anyone doubts that she's talking about Jesus Christ, look carefully at verse 47. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." People, that is awesome theology for a 15-year-old. Now, I'm just picking 15. She may have been 13. She may have been 16, but we have to say something. So we'll just say around 15 years of age. This teenager knows more about the truth of this book and of Jesus Christ than a lot of preachers today. He is both God and man. He is God and he is her Savior. People, Mary sinned. Mary was born with Adam's original sin. Mary needed a Savior. I don't care what the Roman Church says. She is in need of a Savior, and she says so. "And my God, rejoice in God my Savior." And then verse 48, "For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave." Now here she's almost quoting Hannah, the mother of Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the humble state of her bondservant, that's a woman slave, that's a barren woman. Hannah was without child, Mary's without child. "For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Not full of grace. She is not blessed any more, any differently than any one of us. She is picked for this particular wonderful blessing. And it is a wonderful blessing. But so are you. Please understand that. If you're a believer in Christ, you have been chosen by God to do certain things with your spiritual gift. So we'll come back to that. Now we begin, continue this morning in verse 49. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name." 15-year-old girl. Do you know God? Do you know Christ is the Mighty One? She does. That's a biblical term. That's not just something made up. Our God is an awesome God. This is biblical. The Mighty One. I want you to note the consecutive flow in this verse. Mighty One, done great things, holy is His name. Indicating that the great things He has done are all holy, righteous, just. I got to point out that word "for" at the very beginning. It's used to introduce another basis for her praise. Another reason her soul rejoices. another reason her spirit rejoices. She is totally occupied, not with herself, but with Jesus Christ. So you will note that the reason for the praise is not on her, but on God. On His essence, His omnipotence, His love, His mercy, and actions of His love. The praise of verse 49 are linked with verse 47. Look at 47. My spirit rejoiced. Why does her spirit rejoice? Because, for. Now, how many of you know Jesus Christ as the Mighty One? Well, let me tell you something this 15-year-old girl does. The praise of Mary is the praise of Mary's parents. Mary's parents taught her and got her to the synagogue. We have a synagogue, we have a local church. But her parents taught her these things. She learned a tremendous amount of Old Testament scripture by song, just like we do. I may not have known a lot of dates in history, but I'll guarantee you, I knew the words to Elvis Presley's new song. I knew the words to Jerry Lee Lewis's new song. Have I given up my age yet? I knew the words to their songs. Whether I knew exactly what day Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and I learned that from a song! That's how they learned the Old Testament. And this little girl taught by her parents. I'm sorry, a lot of parents today care more about whether or not how their children play soccer, baseball, basketball, ballet dance, all the even grades in school than on studying the Word of God. Are your teenagers going to be prepared for what may be coming down America's pipeline? Are they prepared? Next Sunday we're going to study a 15-year-old boy, approximately. 15-year-old boy, ripped! Not only from his parents, but from his culture. Is your 15-year-old prepared to be ripped out of America and taken to a Muslim society, taught Muslim language, Muslim culture? Is your 15-year-old ready to handle that? Daniel is. Why? Because Daniel had two parents that taught him and got him into the truth. And he knew the truth. And we'll start seeing that next week. People, it's our responsibility as parents. That's our responsibility. It's not a matter. Well, I'm falling apart because my life has been changed, but I can sure hit a baseball, or I can run a football, or I can hit a basketball. But can you handle these things in life? Is your soul prepared? This 15-year-old girl is. And the wonders of what she is about to do. Please turn to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Now, I'm tempted to go to about 3 or 3:30 this afternoon. The Cowboys don't play till tonight, but I won't. I'll give in to that, to your time schedule. But look at Genesis 49. I think under the circumstances today, my wife wouldn't even be here at 3:30. She'd be gone. It'd just be James Webb and me. Oh. Guy's priority set. All right. Genesis 49, verse 24. But his bow remained firm, and his arms were agile, from the hands of the Mighty One of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The Mighty One, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. There's your theology. There's your understanding of Jesus Christ in one verse. Look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 22. After taking the land, Joshua 22, and let's read together verse 22 of Joshua 22, verse 22, the Mighty One, God, the Lord, the Mighty One. Let me just stop and tell you something, people. If you ever get into some difficult times in the next year, tribulation, really some adverse circumstances. And when I say adverse, I don't mean that your dishwasher won't work. Your vacuum cleaner won't work. I'm just having fun with Morgan. I'm talking about some real tribulation. If it comes, you remember him, the Mighty One. He is mightier than anything that happens in my life. And I will appeal to the Mighty One. Look at verse 22. The Mighty One, God, the Lord. The Mighty One, God, the Lord. He knows, and may Israel itself know. How do you know? By studying the Word of God, by growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And finally, look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, I want you to start knowing God as the Mighty One. Isaiah 49. And if you don't, it's my fault. But it won't be lacking any longer. You're going to know him as the Mighty One. You'll know him as the promised prophet. All these wonderful things about Jesus Christ. Isaiah 49, and let's look at verse 26. And I will feed your oppressors with your own flesh, and they will become drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. He's the Mighty One, people. And for your own edification, let me give you some other passages. We don't have time to go through them this morning. Psalm 45:3, Psalm 51, Isaiah 1:24, Isaiah 60:16. And you'll notice as you go through all of these, they are all in the context of mighty doings of the Mighty One. Well, that's what Mary does. She's learned these things so well, she relates the doing that's going on in her own body, in her life, with a mighty God. Only a mighty God could cause me to be pregnant without the involvement of a man. He is mighty. And so she relates all these things to what's going on in the Old Testament. These are mighty things by the Mighty One going on in our own soul. Now, back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, she has called him for the Mighty One. Look back at verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Why? He is the Mighty One. So see, you just see this woman, this girl, this little teenage girl, has all of this understanding of biblical knowledge inside of her. So, nothing is impossible because he is the Mighty One. All the things that are going on. Older and barren Elizabeth becomes pregnant by her husband. Young and barren Mary becomes pregnant without a male even involved. You're a mighty God. You're the Mighty One. No one else can do these things. Only you. So much is going on in the spiritual realm and in the realm of Israel itself with what's happening inside of this little girl. Look at Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10:21. We're going to read 21 and 22. Deuteronomy 10:21. So that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain above the earth. For if you are careful to keep all the commandment, and see that singular faith, which I am commanding you to do it, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him. That's 11? What did I say? I'm 10:21. Well, that was a good verse anyway. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's look at 10:21. All right, 10:21. He is your priest. He is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you. What's he done for you? Put his son on a cross. What's he done for you? Raised his son from the dead. What's he done for you? Ascended his son into heaven and seated him at his right hand. All these great things he has done and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the heaven. People, he's done awesome things for Israel. And it's not over. And Mary's going to bring in the Messiah. And as we'll see in a few moments, she even looks forward to things yet to come. Look at Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. And let's read together 10 and 11. Deuteronomy 34. Since then, no prophet, prophet has risen in Israel like Moses. And I'll show you in Deuteronomy where the prophets promised. That's what Christ will be on Wednesday night in our study. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants, and all his land, and for all the mighty power, and for the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of the people. We'll study the prophet aspect later. Look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. People don't fall apart if disaster does hit, personally, nationally, in your life. Think back of the mighty things that God has done. Is he going to drop the ball? Well, I saved you, but now you're on your own? Not at all. When things really get tough, or things happen to you like what's happening to Mary, things that are just astronomically different, just remember the faithfulness of God. Look at Psalm 71, and let's read 17 through 19. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Parents, are you teaching your teenagers, your children, when they become teenagers, to know these things? And I still declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. For thy righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. Thou hast done great things, O God, who is like thee. The idea being, there is none like thee. Let's go back to Luke 21 now. It says, the mighty one who has done great things for me. How often do you think to praise God for what he's doing to you in your life? How often? I hope you'll spend between now and New Year's Day, and on that day, and every day, thanking him for what he's done. He saved me. You know, Father, that's more than enough. Thank you for saving me. And then that you've given me 34 wonderful things. You're using me daily to spread the gospel. All the things you're doing, do you thank God for all that he is doing? So much is going on in this respect for this mighty one and what he has done to her and inside of her, to her body. Now, I don't want to distract from the blessings given to Mary, but people, it's befitting and applicable for each one of us to thank God and praise God for what he's doing in your life, what he has done in your life, what he's doing in your life, what he will do in your life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not insignificant. You may not be written up in a paper. You may not be talked about on earth, but I want to tell you something. Angels are watching, and there are very few for them to be able to watch. So there are a lot of eyes on believers when they truly walk by the power of the Holy Spirit and praise Him and give thanks to Him. Continually marvel how God uses you, how God loves you. Let me tell you something. The Muslims make no qualms in giving Allah the praise when they kill and murder someone. Well, let me tell you something. Christians should count it a real joy to tell others about the saving work of Jesus Christ and about what He is about. The Mighty, let's continue now for the sake of time. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Has done great things. That's great in the realm of importance. My soul exalts the Lord. What I want to do now is I want to show you the flow of the tenses. I wish we had a lot more time here. I should have started this probably in October and we'd be in good shape right now. But let me show you the dramatic thought of this 15-year-old girl and how well she uses the tenses. My soul exalts the Lord. That's present tense. That goes on in her life. My spirit has rejoiced in the past. He has had regard in the past. Generations will count me blessed. Future. Mighty One has done. Past. Holy is His name. Present. Now, why do I point all of this out? People, we have to be aware. You don't get this strength all of a sudden. If something happens in your life, you've got to already have it inside your soul. The strength comes from understanding the past. Why is America in the condition that it's in? Why have we become from a laissez-faire free market society to a socialistic society? Because we've not been taught the past accurately. We've not been taught the past of the writers of our Constitution, the meaning of our Constitution, all the aspects of the Constitution. We've not been taught those things. We don't have a past to hold on to. So we're giving it away. We're letting it be taken away from us in so many respects. Why do you think the amendment, the right to bear arms, is there? They know and they knew what was going on. We don't. We're not taught these things. So here, take my gun. Take my freedom. Why will you give up the present? Because you don't know the past. You've got to know the past. A proper understanding of the past leads to proper living in the present and confidence in the future. Do you see where your life fits into the whole plan of God? Do you know the past? Don't ever move away from the cross. And don't ever lose the hope of the second coming of Christ. All these things are so closely tied in our short lifetime here on earth. The Mighty One has done great things for me. And what has He done for Mary? Chosen her to be the mother of Jesus. Are you aware of the great things God's done for you? Well, He hasn't done anything for me. Oh, He hasn't? You need to go back to the drawing board. You need to go back to the past. And you'll have something to hold on for in the present and in the future. These things are not said out of arrogance, but out of thanksgiving. Her soul exalts magnifies the Lord. Her spirit rejoices. She will be considered blessed. Great things He has done for her. These are not bragamonies. These are orientations to the great things that the Great One has done for her. She has called Him Lord, God, my Savior, now Mighty One. And she has been told His name is to be Jesus. This is a remarkable little girl going on here. Now, what is interesting about verses 50 through 53, it's not about her so much. In her praise of God and of Jesus Christ, she now concentrates on other people, unbelievers and believers, those high and those low, and how the birth of her son affects everyone. Now, what I want to do for the sake of time, let's just read 50 through 53, and then we'll come back. But note the change from herself, or even her son, to what the implications are going to be. Verse 50. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. This is things that she sees going on. All in her son. This is unbelievable. She now concentrates on other people. Verse 50, those who believe that He is the Messiah. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. Here is the gospel from a 15-year-old girl. First of all, I wonder how many 15-year-olds, how many adults understand mercy. Let me tell you, when we think of mercy, he's tried real hard, she's improved, all these kind of things, therefore show mercy. That's not mercy. You know what mercy is? He was a dirty rat, he's still a dirty rat, show mercy. That's mercy. Mercy's not earned. Mercy is not deserved. A true understanding of mercy, you don't earn or deserve it. There was a lady who believed in Jesus Christ and Mary and all this stuff in Texas prisons, and they asked the Governor Bush at that time to show mercy on her and pardon her. He didn't do it. But what I want to point, and the Pope wrote him, and just different preachers, that's not mercy. Look what they've done. They deserve to be pardoned. They deserve these things. No, mercy is, Mr. Governor, she was a bum. She's still a bum. She hasn't changed at all. Pardon her. That's mercy. That's true mercy. You want to understand mercy? We receive mercy at the cross. Not a one of us deserved for Christ to die for us. We were wretched. We were sinners. We were under condemnation. And yet He died for us. That's mercy. You and I are recipients of mercy. We didn't earn or deserve it. I don't deserve one bit for Christ to die for me. I don't deserve one bit to have eternal life. The assurance of eternal life. I don't deserve that. I got that when I was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. A no good for nothing. That's when I got it. I don't know when you got it. Maybe you deserved it. I didn't. See, that's mercy. So we got to understand mercy. This little girl understands real mercy. She learned this from her parents. See? Now, this 15-year-old knows, has knowledge about God. He is the Lord, mighty one, holy, and now He is merciful, compassionate. Is upon generation after generation. You know what this means? Let me tell you what generation after generation means. Faithfulness of God. God is faithful. You see, people, in one sense, we don't pass down the gospel. Each individual has to make up their own mind about the gospel. They don't have to study about math, the 10-number system, the 2 and 2 is 4. That we pass down. But a young person has to make up their own mind about what is the true gospel. They have to make up their own mind about Jesus Christ. See? Cameron's parents believe in Jesus Christ. Mackenzie's parents believe in Jesus Christ. It's up to Mackenzie and Cameron whether they're going to believe. Thomas, whether he's going to believe. His parents, we would love to just pass down salvation to our children. Boy, we would love that. That would be so sweet. If I could just pass down eternal life to my children. Can't do it. Thomas, Cameron, you've got to believe it yourself. I've made up my mind. And see, the generation is, it doesn't matter which generation where you are, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. He's faithful. He's faithful from generation to generation. That's what that means. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. The present middle participle, fearing, phobao, means to fear, to stand in awe, it means to believe. And here we see her knowledge of the Old Testament. Songs that she sang. She didn't have a radio. She didn't have an iPad or iPod, whatever it is. She's saying these from Old Testament scriptures. Let me just read for you right down Psalm 103:17. But the love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear, Jewish understanding of trust Him, and His righteousness to children's children. She knew that. She knew that song. And sang it as a teenager, as a young person, even preteen. So she knew it. The Hebrew word for love is the word mercy. Kesed has an unbelievable rich meaning. Books are written on the Hebrew word kesed. I've got two in my book, just on the word. One word. The word kesed. See? So God is immutable. God's unchangeable. From generation to generation, it is the faithfulness of God to the person and work of God. See, He's not faithful to me. He's not faithful to you. He is faithful to His Son and His Son's work. And because you and I have believed in His Son, boom, you're saved forever. And when you die, you go straight to heaven with Him. Why? Because I deserve and earn it? No, He's faithful to His Son. He's not faithful to Mary. He's not faithful to me. He's not faithful to you. He's faithful to His Son. He's faithful to His own word of what He has given. It's going to be. So, this is what He's doing. And I would recommend that you read Psalm 103:1-17. Just to pick it up this afternoon, this evening sometime, and just read Psalm 103:1-17. And please remember while you're reading, this 15-year-old girl knew that as a song. She sang it. She believed it. Now from verse 51, she knows history. She knows history. And again, it is no accident that I don't think it's an accident this young girl's chosen. This girl understands the Bible. And people don't get the idea that Daniel and Mary, they're some kind of supernatural creatures. They're normal teenagers. They're normal. They're just like any other teenager who's reared in the truth of Scripture. They understand there's something different about me, and there's something different about history, something different about life, and it's God, and it's His Son, His promises, it's the future, it doesn't end when I die. They know these things. I'm not an evolutionary product, an animal. I'm created in the image of God. And after I die, it's not over. They begin to know these things very young age. I knew it at 7. And then you start growing on that. When things start happening in your life, you start applying these truths to your life. She knows history. We spend a lot of time learning American history, Texas history. Now, Texas history is worth all the time spent on it. But you got to understand that. But you want to understand? I heard that, Steve. But people, do we understand biblical history? Well, when we finish Daniel, you'll have a better grasp than you probably do now. All right, let's look at verse 51. Verse 51. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He's the mighty one. What does He do? Mighty deeds. With His arm, His outstretched hand, His outstretched arm, this is a reference to Christ's work on the cross. That's what it's a reference to. Verse 49, the Mighty One has done great deeds, great acts. Now in our verse 51, He's done mighty deeds with His arm. That is with the work of Christ on the cross. Isaiah 53:1, let me just read it for you. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? People, we've got to understand when you're reading this book, the richness of it. Don't just read this with his arm. What does that mean? It means through the work of His Son on the cross. He has scattered those who were proud in their thoughts, in the thoughts of their heart. He knows the thoughts of man. He knows the intentions of man. He knows the arrogance of man. People were so impressed with the wisdom of man, but it versus the wisdom of God. That's what we're studying in 1 Corinthians on Sunday morning. The work of man versus the work of God. Now, where did she learn all this? Where does 15-year-old learn? He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. That's pretty awesome stuff. That's advanced stuff. No, not for this 15-year-old girl. She already has this well in mind. Now, we're stressed for time, and I know that, but please look with me at Psalm 98. Psalm 98. And if I had time, I would take you on a little journey of Psalm 90 through 100. How these Psalms all go together. But let's just jump right in at Psalm 98. Psalm 98. And let's just read together and enjoy reading verses 1 through 9 of Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. This 15-year-old girl has learned this song. She can sing it. She can sing it. She's learned it as a song. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm, that's Christ's work on the cross, have gained victory for Him, the salvation of all mankind who believe in Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. See, we're on the right track. Talks about salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. That's what the cross is about, the righteousness of God. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. You know, you go to camp, the youth camp in the summer, and a lot of it's about the singing. It's about the singing. We've been very fortunate the last 2 years to have Larry's nephew and his buddy come and have the singing. Singing's so good, people. It's how the children learn. Now, some of us older people may sit around, they're doing all this singing while we... That's how they learn. That's why what they sing is important. Is what they're singing, teaching them truth. Shout, verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, a sound of melody, with the trumpets of the sounds of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King of the Lord. He had quite a little jazz band going. Singing praises to the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. By the way, this speaks of people. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for His coming to He is coming to judge the earth. People, He's coming. Let me tell you something. Don't start falling into what a lot of people are buying in today. There's a big movement. Everyone's saved. Jesus Christ is not a big issue anymore. Everyone's going to be saved. Don't get caught up in that. Stay with the Bible. Do you see that in God's Word? No, you see His wrath and His grace. Verse 9, before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with iniquity. So, there's just so many psalms like this that she got it. You can read Psalm 118, verses 15 and 16. Her parents have taught her biblical truth, and this supported by the songs and praises teaching the Word of God. Now she says, back to Luke chapter 1, He scattered, brought down, exalted, filled, sent away. These are things of God. These are things done in the past. But let me tell you something about this text. Mary recalls them in anticipation of all the things He will do in the future, see? She draws from the past, anticipating the future. That's what she's doing. Scattered those who are proud, arrogant, is used for a refusal to simply trust. The humility, the humble, they will believe. The arrogant refuse to believe. And know where arrogance takes place. In the thoughts of their heart. People, the soul is the battle. Your soul is the battleground. What goes on up here? Not what goes on out on a court or a field. It's what goes on in your soul. That's where the battle is fought. That's where it takes place. Arrogant are always proud of their arrogance. Being wise, they become fools. You can read Numbers 10:35, Psalm 68:1. Now verse 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He is in control of the rise and fall of those who come to power. We'll see this starting next week in Daniel. God's in control. In case you've lost any kind of doubt about it, God's man is in the office of presidency in this country. What he is doing is in God's plan for this country. We have turned away the Bible out of the judicial system. We've taken his Bible out of the educational system, and for all practical purposes, out of homes and churches. God's man is there. Things that are happening in this country, we've brought it on ourselves. Make no doubt about it. God is in control. And look what it says. And exalted those who are humble. You know who the humble is? That's those who will simply believe. Who understand they have to just believe in Jesus Christ. Now, what is this young girl thinking of? This verse expresses the hope of Israel through its history, right up to its very day. That's in her mind. She's taking the past, what's happening to her, and the future. This 15-year-old girl, people, her parents have prepared her, and the synagogue where she went has prepared her. She understands a lot of truth. 53, more Bible, Old Testament. He has filled the hungry with good things. Those who were hungry spiritually. Good things. We'll find out what the good things are in just a moment. Now, where did she get this? She got this from Psalm 107. Please look at Psalm 107. I want you to see the thinking of this little girl. Psalm 107. The Roman church has made her an idol of idolatry. But she should be praised. And she should be praised because of her knowledge of Scripture. And her ability to just trust the Lord at this time and apply all of these things to what's going on to herself. That's the praise of Mary. Okay, look at Psalm 107. And what we want to do in Psalm 107 is start reading in verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for His wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul. This is where she got this. And the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. There are those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. Prisoners in misery and chains. This is about the soul. It's not about physical prisons. Because they have rebelled against the words of God. And spurred the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. He stumbled, and there was none to help. We'll see this next week in Daniel. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them of their distresses. That's what kind of God he is. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. And broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for the wonders to the sons of men. For He has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools became because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them. That's what kind of God he is. What kind of God do we have? Look at verse 19. They cried out to the Lord. Now they were in trouble because they rebelled against him. They forsook him. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them. And their distresses. Now, look back at verse 9. And the hungry soul, he is filled with what is good. What is good? What is it? Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What is good? His word. People, you got to make up your own mind about 2013. Whether you're going to be worried about economics, about politics or sports or whatever, or the word of God. What is good? The word of God. That's what he sent. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. All right, let's go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 54. Luke 1, 54. He has given help to Israel, his servant. She knows. She knows where Israel is. She knows what the birth of her son means to Israel. She's just talking about what it means to the world, what it means to Israel, her own people. She knows how God has mercifully dealt with Israel. Remember that right now, she is under the rule of Rome. Israel's under the rule of Rome right now. But she carries in her womb the solution. She does not deserve to be the mother of the Messiah. Israel doesn't deserve it, but here's the greatness of this great God. He has given help to Israel, his servant. Well, you've just touched one of my pet peeves as a pastor teacher. Teacher of the word. That word, help. I hate that word. I love it in my own life. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Judith had to leave the house yesterday or the day before. And she inadvertently locked the door from the inside to our shower. And then she took off. Well, I know nothing about these things, so I thought I'd call James Webb. He doesn't know anything about these things either. He comes in with his mallet, starts beating on it. I mean, we're so cool. And, but we, you know, that we're going to get it done. So, help. And what's the Holy Spirit call in John 14? The helper. That's a horrible word. He doesn't help us. Help means I'll hammer a little bit and you hammer a little bit, James. Help me with this door handle. You help me, I'll help bend it up, you help bend it up. See? Jesus Christ is not our helper. He does it all. He does it all. The Holy Spirit is not our helper. He does it all. So this is really what we have going on here. So he is our help. That means that he takes care of everything. And in closing, look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And here you have to be aware where Isaiah 41 fits into the whole gospel of Isaiah. This is God talking to Satan, section of scripture. Isaiah 41. And let's read 8 through 10. Isaiah 41, 8 through 10. But you, Israel, my servant. What did she just say? Israel is servant. Where'd she get that? She knows scripture. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be anxiously looking about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. People, she knows God. She knows the God she's carrying in her womb. She knows what he means to Israel, to the world, to her. Yeah, she should be praised, all right. She should be praised for her knowledge and application of spiritual truths from the Word of God that she was taught by her parents, by the people in the synagogue. They taught her the truth. And now she's able to apply all of these things. And that's what we'll see next Sunday morning, in replying to another 15-year-old boy named Daniel and the horrible things that happened to him. So this will conclude our study of Mary and the study of her praise. And next Christmas we'll study another aspect of the birth of Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, the Bible is just such an unbelievable book. We could have five lifetimes and only begin then to really start grasping how it all puts together. To be able to grasp books that we hardly even know, like Zephaniah. Books and things and stories and generations and promises. Things that are just unbelievable. Here's this 15-year-old girl. I'm jealous of her. Not that she gave birth to the Son, but because she knew so much of this book and was able to apply it to her own circumstances. What a remarkable young lady. And I pray, Father, that in this new year, that each one of us will continue to grow in our knowledge and our ability to apply these things to our own lives, whatever's going on in it. Pray, Father, you just continue to use this humble assembly next year to spread the gospel to both unbelievers and believers, Father. Let us grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.